There's no better feeling than getting a great deal, like a hotel room upgrade or a free car wash with every tank of gas. Maybe unlimited chips and salsa with your burrito. And now, as an AT&T wireless customer, you can get an exclusive deal on a super fast internet experience with AT&T Fiber. Get consistently fast speed, even during peak times, and a great deal with AT&T Fiber. Learn more at att.com/fiberoffer. Limited availability in select areas based on wired connection to gateway. Restrictions apply.
This is Eric Leonard, investigating every big news event on the streets for over 20 years. Hands down, one of the most connected reporters in L.A., getting the story behind the story. The NBC4 I-Team, dedicated to working for you. Eric Leonard gets back a family's stolen treasure, ripped away by a thief, then held by a pawn shop until our investigative team stepped in, helping victims get justice. The NBC4 I-Team, dedicated to working for you.
KFI AM 640. It's the Gary and Shannon Show. Bo Kelly here. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. I have some breaking news for you. I don't even know if Layla Muhammad has seen this.
Don't try to act like I'm not on top of the news.
All right. I'll give you a hint.
Don't do that.
No, I'm just saying. I don't know if you
walk in
it.
There.
It literally just popped up on my phone
is
right now.
Is it about
now.
The mask rules?
That CDC.
If you were listening to my newscast after Corbin, I talked about how the CDC is relaxing the mask rules.
Oh, wow.
Don't come for me unless I send for you.
I didn't come for you. I said I didn't know.
That is what we call shade by the young people.
Golly.
I don't even know if Layla Muhammad heard this news, even though she's
doing
the news.
I don't know.
Well, the answer is yes.
Wait a minute. Now, if I had said something along the lines of Layla doesn't know this, that would have been one thing. I said, I don't know.
The CDC expected to release new guidance on mask wearing for fully vaccinated people. Now, what was supposed to happen was at 11 o'clock, they were supposed to have a news conference. But you know how this goes. No one's ever on time with these news conferences. So we kept on with our newscast.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they're going to announce that we can fully vaccinated folks can be indoors and in crowds, outdoors in crowds without a mask on, and then relax some of the restrictions indoors. Yeah,
watch this. So they haven't announced it. You got in front of it.
Well, they have they're late.
Uh-huh.
Yes, we did it 3 minutes before their expected time, but they never are on time.
So you're pre-announcing the news.
I was pre-announcing what was supposed to be announced.
But it hasn't been announced, so it's not official.
No.
So therefore, it's not news. It's speculation on your part. You're not supposed to speculate as a member of the news team.
I also just read the words that are written for me.
You don't write your own words?
Sometimes I do, but I think people don't realize. I also push the buttons. I queue up the traffic. You know how many things I'm... You know what? I'm like a DJ in here. I'm pushing all these buttons and firing the sound, and it's a lot going on.
It's actually so very true, because last segment... In the interview, we had some sound just kind of going off in the interview. And people don't understand, stuff happens. There's a lot going on in the middle of a radio show. Like, for example, during the news break, I'm getting ready for my next segment. I'm hearing you, but I'm not listening to everything that you say, if only because I got to worry about my content and everything. Or I may get an instruction from Tyler or Mondo or something. That's why I say, I don't know. And yeah, if you did it, then all right.
Yeah, I did.
Gone with your bad self.
I have to.
Well, the reason I brought that up was because it kind of folds into the news regarding Governor Gavin Newsom, which I know you have discussed on some level, with his announcement. Well, it wasn't an announcement. It was more like an answer to a question from Alex Michelson of Fox 11, where California is going to effectively end its mask mandate when the state fully reopens next month. So I want to juxtapose what the CDC is going to announce, is announcing, with what the governor said last night. Now, the CDC is saying if you're fully vaccinated, you don't have to feel the need to wear masks indoors or outdoors. But I would caution people that does not necessarily supersede what businesses may have as far as their rules. In other words, just because what the CDC should say today and what Governor Newsom said he'll do next month, that doesn't necessarily take precedence over what Subway has on its door or your grocery market has on their door when they walk in. I don't want you to get in trouble and then say, well, the CDC said I don't have to wear a mask anymore because I'm fully vaccinated. No, you'll just get your feelings hurt and you'll probably get put out of the store if those stores or businesses still require masks. So we're just telling you this is the news that is breaking and this is where all of it's going. And in relation to what Governor Newsom said recently in that on-camera interview with Alex Michelson, great friend of KFI, he was asked by Alex specifically, quote, are we looking at masks after June 15th? And Governor Newsom said, no, only in those settings that are indoor, only in those massively large settings where people around the world, not just around the country, are convening and when people are mixing in real dense spaces. Otherwise, we'll make guidance recommendations, but no mandates and no restrictions on businesses, large and small. So, but that's supposed to be for next month. So I don't want people to get their news confused in the sense of, well, the CDC is recommending this, so therefore I can do that. No, the CDC is making the recommendations and businesses and states and what have you will then formulate their subsequent guidances around that. But nothing materially has changed in the sense of what businesses can do or they are prescribed to do, and they haven't changed what they're going to do as of yet. But I think it's safe to say by this time next month, given all that we're seeing, given our vaccine trajectory within the state, that we'll be, can I say it, Layla Muhammad, we'll be pretty close to getting back to normal by this time next month. Is that fair?
It will feel
more
the
like
most
it?
Normal we felt in over a year, yes.
Because
you'll still see people with masks on and we'll still have some form of distancing and that's fine. I just miss traveling more than anything. I have traveled during the pandemic twice, but I do miss like really traveling.
Okay, so you travel within the country, interstate, but not necessarily internationally.
I may or may not have gone to Mexico for a week.
And you will confirm nor deny.
I will confirm nor deny that I spent a week in Cabo celebrating my birthday with my sisters safely.
I thought those pictures were old. I guess not.
Oh, no, that was November. that was live and direct from Cabo. Yes.
I really thought. Rode
a camel and everything. Yep.
You know,
I prayed about it.
Because people were putting up pictures like, oh, you know, throwback Thursday when we could travel. And they'd throw up old pictures of vacations.
The Paris pictures are old. I have done those.
Got it.
Anything from like Europe was old. But yeah, the Cabo trip was real.
I miss traveling as well because my wife and I, we would usually travel somewhere every year. We try to hit a different continent each year.
Oh, that's nice.
We were aggressive in that regard. It was like, we're trying to go somewhere. Mm-hmm. And our most recent trip before the pandemic, we just did a cruise to Mexico, but we were trying to hit a different continent. We were thinking about going to Dubai next, but that was before the pandemic. So everything got thrown off as far as what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So it may be South America next. We don't know because we just don't know how the world is going to open up and how it's going to open up.
I would love to go to visit Africa.
Yes.
My husband's waiting for me in Italy. He just hasn't met me yet. I want to go to Greece.
You're right. No, I can see how people go to Italy and fall in love because one of our most recent trips was we started off in Rome.
Mm.
And we did a 7-day cruise out of Rome.
Did you do the Amalfi Coast? I keep hearing that's beautiful.
Yes.
Oh, is it everything everybody says that it is?
Look, I have to just tell people. Once you go to, when I say travel internationally, that includes Europe, mm-hmm. that includes Eastern right. Europe and all around the world. Mm-hmm. It changes your whole perspective of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And not that there's something wrong with the United States. I'm just saying it changes how you feel about issues which are going on in the world. You have a better understanding.
And for me, we lived in Europe. I'm hijacking your show. I'm sorry. We lived in Europe when I was a kid because my dad was in the army. And so we lived in Germany for 3 years, well, a little over 3 years. But our appreciation for just like beauty and walking and nature. And I feel like I look at the world differently when I travel. I appreciate the sights and sounds. I focus on being present. So I tell people when I travel alone, especially like it's about being present in that moment. Like
yes.
What are the smells, the sights? So even though I'm not there now, I can remember everything about my trips.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Stay with me. And I thought before I got married, when I went to Barcelona, that's where I would find my wife.
Really?
I love Barcelona.
Oh.
One of my favorite cities in the world.
I'll have to visit.
Yeah, I highly recommend. If you go to Barcelona, you can go see the Mirador de Colón, which is down by the water in Las Ramblas. It is a wonderful, wonderful city. Love it. Been there a couple times.
Ooh.
If I ever have a chance to be in Spain, I say we got to stop by. Barcelona, like it's a stop on the way. It's like, we got to stop by Barcelona and get something to eat. But highly, highly recommend. And let me know when you get to Rome, because there's a place I'll recommend for you to eat, because Italian food is not like Italian food in America.
So it's not like going to the Olive Garden.
No.
Yeah.
No, it's offensive to even say those things in the same sentence. It's not cooked or prepared the same way. The Italian food in Italy is a different social ethic. They don't slather it with cheese. You get more food, but it's seasoned differently. It's just all around better. We'll talk.
Oh, yeah.
Love this. Is the Gary and Shannon Show. KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. It's the Gary and Shannon Show. Mo Kelly in for Gary and Shannon. And an Orange County grand jury report released yesterday found that OC officials for years failed to take seriously the threat of a pandemic and were caught flat-footed, it's alleged, on public outreach, vaccines, and overall response. Quote, the grand jury's investigation revealed that while Orange County had emergency plans specific to a pandemic, these plans had known gaps that were not addressed in accordance with state, national, and international guidelines, reads the report. Joining me right now is Corbin Carson with more on this. Corbin, how seriously should we take this report at this point in the pandemic?
Well, look, this is an independent review of what this, the grand jury is brought in yearly, and they look at situations like this. And, there are several things that are going on in this report. There obviously is the county response, which says, several of the county officials have said, this is something that was kind of thrown together. There wasn't really a lot of backup on what was done here, a lot of evidence-based stuff. They didn't talk to everyone involved is what the county is responding. So how serious will be determined in the days to come? Some people have said there wasn't enough data to support these conclusions. But at this time, you have the grand jury report, as you mentioned, they're saying that the plans for the pandemic were not put together ready, that they had called the pandemic unlikely, which we heard a lot of the arguing about whether or not this was a real thing, a plandemic and stuff like that. Not that that can be laid at the feet of the county officials. So really right now, this is trying to establish what's going on, what was the response, a lot of stuff that we've heard already. There were findings and recommendations that were made in the grand jury report. They said some emergency plans were incomplete and not up to date when the pandemic struck. In some cases, there were staffing that was underfunded and resources and that weren't ready to be redirected if this was to go on. They said the county was slow to establish partnerships within the community to better serve some harder to reach areas and the creation of a vaccine task force and having that multilingual. That was a big issue that was brought up as being prepared to reach some of these areas. There was also several attacks at the PPE, not having the proper equipment to be ready for such a up-to-date, not expired equipment to be ready for such a pandemic. And then although they talked about 45% of Orange County residents not being proficient in English and again with the multilingual, not making sure that was prepared. And so the county now has 90 days to respond to this report, but we've already heard some officials coming out and talking about it and saying their response to it. I talked to Supervisor Lisa Bartlett this morning. She told me there were some things that could have been done better. I mean, who's not to fault, in her words, who's not to, there were some things that they could have done better.
No one knew exactly how severe it was going to be, when the surge would be, and how long it would continue. So everyone basically sprung into action to make sure that we had all of our bases covered. And in my opinion, I think Orange County did an excellent job in mobilizing the forces that we need to, getting the resources on board, getting the communications plan in place. Could we have done better in certain areas? Of course. There was no jurisdiction, city, state, county, or at the federal level, or any country for that matter, that was totally prepared for this pandemic.
Again, and she also talked about the response of how this was put together.
I don't know who they interviewed from the grand jury perspective, who they interviewed to compile their report, because most of the key personnel that would be involved with the issues of the global pandemic for Orange County were not even interviewed. So I have no idea where the grand jury even gathered its information.
But again, 90 days to respond. And I would assume we're seeing this in, we're going to see this in many other areas as state, local, federal governments are being forced to answer for how they did during this during the last 14, 15 months.
Are they actually forced to answer? They have 90 days to respond, but you also tell me that they have a list of recommendations, not forced improvements or changes which have to be made. How much of this is binding, if at all?
These are all, they're not binding. This is the Orange County Grand Jury is, you know, it's brought together by the courts. These are people who are asked to volunteer their time, and, you know, they're selected out of, you know, they're people that are typically well-regarded in their community. They have different varying degrees of expertise in varying areas. So this is something that is designed to give people an investigative look into important issues, such as how was the pandemic handled? How was the response handled? And I think this is something that the Orange County Board of Supervisors is going to take very seriously. They're definitely going to, you know, respond in some kind of way to show that there was, to at least back up what they say happened. I mean, already we're hearing that, hey, they were one of the first people, they were pointing out some of the things that the county did do, that, you know, they were one of the first to declare a state of emergency, that this was a, hold on, I just had that. So that you know, the local nonprofits were springing into action, and that you know, the county was one of the first to make sure a lot of this that the PPEs were fixed up and that they were regarded as ready for people who needed them in as this pandemic sprang up.
We also started right away, knowing that we'd have to get a vaccine in place, working with a provider that would be able to implement a local solution relative to registration and scheduling of appointments. We have the Athena program that's now up and operational. We were one of the first counties to be able to offer that to our residents, to be able to get vaccines out to our first responders, and the first county to offer vaccines to seniors 65 plus.
And this is what you would expect in a response. They talked about, you know, the county focused its response on an underserved minority community, you know, quickly making sure that there were there was an ordinance requiring masks for employees in the food industry and some retail stores. They're saying that was coming out before first amid this public debate about whether or not residents should be wearing masks. They're saying, hey, we put this together anyway. Just this is going to be interesting to watch as both sides say, hey, what'd you do? How'd you fare during this one of the worst emergencies that happened?
Corbin Carson, we always thank you. Hey, when are you going to come by the studio and say hello now that we have this relaxed mask requirement, it seems, that
Is the studio in Southern California? Because I haven't been there. This is
don't
a
invite
story.
People back, because parking has been amazing the last year.
You don't even have to find a spot.
I've been parking in like visitor and reserve spots for a year.
You're not supposed to do that.
Those folks don't come here.
I'm one of them.
Well, you need to come see us, Corbin.
Absolutely, man.
Hope to see you soon.
All right.
This is KFI AM 640, Gary and Shannon Show. We're going to talk some music, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, from the music perspective on the other side. Hey, look, Ma, I made it. Hey, look, Ma, I made it. Everything's coming up aces. If it's a dream, don't wait. Gary and Shannon Show, Mo Kelly here. KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Yesterday, I started talking about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And I specifically started saying, yes, I know every single year someone wants to complain about it being a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and they're not rock musicians who are being entered into the hall. Okay. And I said, think of it as a music hall of fame. It's never been just for rock artists. Before I could get to my car, I opened up Twitter. And there was a gentleman who was trying to say, hey, half of those artists are not rock. I was like, yes, I know. I said that on the air. But nonetheless, you know, that debate is not this debate. This debate is as far as the performance category, whether we might agree with these artists on the merits. Yesterday, we kind of talked about it very briefly. But when I mentioned the Foo Fighters, I mean, I like the Foo Fighters. I wasn't sure that they were Hall of Fame worthy. And this is something coming from sports radio. We debate Hall of Fames all the time. And we make it very clear. It's the Hall of Fame, not the Hall of Very Good, not the Hall of Kind of Cool, not the Hall of, oh, they had that one great song. Okay? The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, not better than mediocre. And I think the Foo Fighters, good band, but if you were to, I don't know, Manu, you're a Foo Fighters fan, right?
Yeah, I like the Foo Fighters.
Okay, can you name off the top of your head two or three of their hits?
Yeah, Everlong.
Hits.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was a hit.
I just want, no, I'm just saying, want to make sure. Not songs that you like.
Oh, no, 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 I know what you mean.
Okay, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Everlong, Sounds Like These.
Mm-hmm.
You want me to keep going?
Yeah.
Best of You.
Yeah.
Pretender.
See, I think of Pretender.
Yeah.
That's the one that first comes to mind. Yeah. Why don't we
really?
Play a little bit of that?
Okay.
Yeah, honestly. Good band. Just for me, I don't know about Hall of Fame. That's just Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Now, Carole King, if you know anything about music, she's one of the greatest songwriters of all time. So that's like real easy. But the Go-Go's, the only one that I really think of as far as the Go-Go's is Vacation. And let's see if you can find that one, Tyler, when you have a chance, the Go-Go's. Because I remember them just coming up when I was, you know, I think it was maybe middle school when I started listening to the Go-Go's, but it was a very short time in music history in which they were something special. So, you know, Todd Rundgren, that's someone I did talk about yesterday, just thought he was okay. I know he has a lot of songs, but as far as hits, the only one that I can think of, and Tyler, you just go ahead and play Hello, It's Me.
Sometimes I can't help seeing all the way through. It's important to me that you know you are free. Cause I never want to make you change for me.
Now, I like that song. Now, Todd Rundgren, as far as his complete discography, I don't know. But along those lines, when we talk about the folks who were not so sure about being in the Hall of Fame, now I know, Tyler, you have a thought or two about who should be possibly in this induction class as opposed to maybe the Go-Go's or someone.
That is true. I do have somebody in mind.
Who do you have?
Tool.
They're pretty damn good. Pretty damn good. So when I say Tool, what is the song which most makes the case, you think, for them?
They have a really good array of titles that are really well known.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I'm going to say Schism. I'm going to say Sober.
I know Sober.
I'm going to say The Pot, if you've ever heard that one. It's very good. Sober, I would say, is probably the most popular when you think of Tool. That's going to be your go-to song.
Let's hear some of that. This is Sober by Tool. Mondo, you have a thought about who should be in, who's not presently in?
Yeah, surprisingly, Selena is not in there. And I feel like...
Why do you say surprisingly?
Because she should be. What do you mean? She should be in there. She's a legend. Hit after hit.
Wait, before we play that, Tyler. Okay, wait. Is she a legend? And I'm not trying to be disrespectful. Is she a legend on her own musical merits? Or is she a legend in part because she died unexpectedly in a tragic way?
No, she would have been... Beyond so? Great. Oh, yeah. My God.
No, she would have been. I'm just saying.
She was on the cusp.
On the strength of her discography up until her death.
Yes.
Okay.
Those songs are amazing.
Timeless. Yeah. Timeless. Yeah.
Dreaming of You, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Don't play that. I'm going to cry.
Yeah, okay,
that
so play it.
It's hard
play
to watch it the video.
Play it. I want to see Layla cry.
Because she died, so she couldn't make the video. So it's all just the defense.
Same girl.
Oh, wrong part. Oh, yeah, here we go.
I wish you all could see her dancing in the newsroom.
It was so beautiful. All her songs, you know, and I lived in North Carolina, and I had a friend who we were military kids. We all lived all over, but she was from Texas, and she introduced me to Selena's music. Oh, my God. We would listen to Selena, like, every day going to school. And Tupac. We had those two on rotation. Selena and Tupac. Random. Yeah, I know.
I agree that Selena would have been massive.
Yeah.
If she did not die, and she was a little bit before the social media explosion.
I got the Go-Go's ready.
She would really be massive. But I was referring to the Go-Go's earlier. We didn't have it queued up. This is just in case you didn't remember them or weren't even born when the Go-Go's were around. Back then. I see I'm strong, and I'm not so strong. I should have known all along that time would tell. A week after. This is the Gary and Shannon Show. We'll have more music from Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees in just a moment. KFI AM 640. Baby, I'll see. Kelly here in for Gary and Shannon, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. And if you're just tuning in, we were reviewing some of the music of this year's class of Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees. And also, we wanted to turn it on its head because yesterday we started the discussion. Well, some of these, they're cool, like some of their songs, but not so sure that they are Hall of Fame worthy. So we were talking amongst each other yesterday and say, well, what about this group? Or what about that artist who might be better suited or has been long overlooked, honestly? Because I look at some of these names. Yeah, they had one or two songs. They had some degree of influence. I mentioned the Go-Go's, and I like them as a group. But, for example, they did not have, at least from where I sit, a tremendous imprint on the world of music outside of the time in which they're on the scene. Now, the all female rock group was ahead of its time, absolutely impactful, but I'm not so sure it was Rock and Roll Hall of Fame worthy. That's just one person's opinion. And so we started thinking about, well, what about these other artists? And let me back up. I understand that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is only going to induct maybe 7 or 8 artists each year in the sense of the performers category, but there are so many great artists who seemingly have been overlooked for reasons I just can't quite understand. How is it you're only getting to Tina Turner this year?
Because she was inducted, I believe, with Ike and Tina.
Yeah, but that, what does that have to do with, like, that's the true. Jackson 5 and Michael Jackson?
You're correct. I agree.
That's the only thing I didn't understand because, and I would say, Tina Turner, the solo artist, had a larger impact on music. I think she was the first female rock musician to sell out a stadium for performance. Talk about impact, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, music, more broadly, Hall of Fame. you're just getting to Tina Turner. And maybe to Layla's point, people just think, well, that includes everything that she did as a solo artist when she was inducted with Ike and Tina. I don't agree with that. And clearly someone explained it to him. No, those two different musical genres. But in that vein, we talked to Tyler, and he thought that Tool should have gotten more consideration. Maybe they will in the coming years. We talked to Mondo. Great suggestion regarding Selena.
Thank you. And I was
pushing back as far as I wonder about her musical impact if she had not died. In other words, like, for example, if Tupac Shakur did not die, how might his music career have been viewed today? Because many times we lionize people because they died, and we sometimes romanticize the level of impact they had. Like, for example, and I don't mean any disrespect. I'm just saying this is a natural occurrence. I don't know, and I'm going to get a lot of hate mail for this. I don't know if Kurt Cobain was as great of an artist without dying. I don't know. He had a lot to do with the grunge rock scene. He was white hot for a certain amount of time. But as far as career, I don't know. And Tyler's looking at me, that's blasphemous. I'm just saying, I know. People feel very strongly about Kurt Cobain.
Tread lightly.
Well, look. I say the same about Jimi Hendrix. And I love Jimi Hendrix. But it was a short amount of time in which Jimmy was on the scene. That's all I'm saying.
Short and sweet.
It was short and sweet.
Short and sweet is okay.
I know. But I'm saying, I asked that question. Would we think of these artists the same way if the rest of their career, which was blunted because they died in an untimely fashion, would we feel the same way if the rest of the career was mediocre? Because we're only taking a sample size of what, like maybe 5 years? 5 years maybe? You know, that's all I'm saying. So I'm just putting out there something to think about. And I thought, how can he say that about Jimi Hendrix and Kurt Cobain? I'm just saying we tend to fall in love with artists who pass prematurely. We just do. Their sales go up. Their notoriety goes up. Put it another way, was James Dean a great actor? I don't know. But because he died in that car accident, he's thought of much more highly. I think the same can be said of Buddy Holly, Richie Valens. I'm not saying that they aren't great in their own right. I think that we perceive them greater because they were taken from us. That's all I'm saying. And a lot of artists, I think, have been overlooked along the way. One of those artists, Kayla, wanted to put into this discussion, Patti LaBelle. Her musical career is largely unrivaled if you think about her time with Patti LaBelle and the Bluebells and LaBelle, 5 decades at least of solid music dominance, including this. I'm living in a fantasy. Cause you don't even suspect. You have to sing on the mic, Kayla, just like Layla did.
People will turn the mic off, I mean, the radio off immediately if I sing. Let's let Patti do it.
Going through. Go ahead, Layla.
There you go, Layla. Your arms.
Patti LaBelle, I think, should be in the Rock and Roll Music Hall of Fame.
Oh, yes, she should.
On the
should.
Strength of her career, catalog, discography, all that.
I love all her music. Up. And the song she did with, was it Michael Bolton?
On my
Oh my God.
Michael McDonald.
Michael McDonald, yes. Oh my
How
God.
How does it end this way? This wasn't how it was supposed to
That song
be.
Is, man, that song would, if it came out today, it would still be the jam.
Yeah, okay, how about this? We close the show with On My Own. Tyler, I'll give you a second to get it.
He has to get to a part. Yeah. You got to get further in the song when Michael McDonald comes in. I keep wanting to say Michael Bolton. Why?
Michael McDonald could sing his butt off.
Yes.
He could sing. Yeah, On My Own is one of those songs which has aged very well. And I'm not surprised no one seriously has tried to remake it because you had two legendary artists singing it. And if you're trying to redo that and recapture that magic, you better be careful.
Oh, you can't start from here. Yeah, okay. He's, yeah. But every Patty song.
So many promises.
Woo! Come on now, Michael. That voice was classic. Here goes his part right here. Listen.
Sound like a donut in his mouth.
Now I know we're loving you cold. Now we're up to talking divorce. And we weren't even married.
Everybody sing.
On my own.
Why did it end this way?
Supposed to be.
Okay.
White Rabbit coming up next.
Same night.
It's the Gary and Shannon Show. KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. And Layla Muhammad's going to take us to break.
Ready to get back to wearing those fun, light, stylish summer dresses again? We are too. But no one feels stylish when you start chafing in the heat. Send love to your thighs with Undersummers. Our soft shortlets are uniquely designed to prevent chafing and stay put without seams in your inner thighs and no compression fit. You'll stay comfortable all summer long. Go to Undersummers.com and use the promo code SUMMERS for $10 off your first purchase.
This is Eric Leonard, investigating every big news event on the streets for over 20 years. Hands down, one of the most connected reporters in L.A., getting the story behind the story. The NBC4 I-Team, dedicated to working for you. Eric Leonard gets back a family's stolen treasure, ripped away by a thief, then held by a pawn shop until our investigative team stepped in, helping victims get justice. The NBC4 I-Team, dedicated to working for you.